Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now, Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds. They are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only me talking the truth, only me talking the truth, ayy.
All right, it is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Monday morning on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Mike and Connor across the way, Bogish with your updates to 9 a.m. Eastern time. We go 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
That is your number to call, and CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. As there was oppressive heat over a large swath of our country, especially in the Northeast, Taz, where there were some blackouts. I know there's still one going on in Brooklyn, right?
So yeah, a lot of people lost power.
It's bad. Lost power, yeah. And some violent storms, but that heat wave is now broken. You had the what is always a fun time, because if you're a baseball fan, you know, at some point maybe you make the pilgrimage, if you can, up to Cooperstown, New York, and the Baseball Hall of Fame. And it's a great little town in upstate New York. And they've got, if you are a sports fan, a baseball fan, if you're an enthusiast, you go up there and you get a feel for the history of Major League Baseball. They've got a beautiful diamond up there.
It's cool.
Cool restaurants and old school hotels and stuff like that. It's a fun little, Cooperstown, New York's a fun little
town. It really is. When my son was young, we went out there. It was a lot of fun. And even if you're a baseball fan, to Moose's point, it's great. Great spot to go. Even if you don't have kids, or you do have kids, you go. And also, if you go during the summertime especially, there's a lot of baseball tournaments at the local baseball fields right near the Cooperstown. It's in the town of Cooperstown.
Yeah.
So you'll see a ton of really good Little League baseball tournaments that are big-time tournaments that teams really strive to do well in all year to go to Cooperstown and win. But the actual Hall of Fame and all that stuff, it's really cool. The history and the building, it's amazing. It's amazing. We went years ago. My son was probably, he might have been like 5 years old. We had a blast.
That's great.
Good little pizzerias there.
Yeah,
that little main street
there. It's a nice town. Yeah. They got a cool brewery up there as well. I haven't been to Cooperstown. It's got to be like 15, 16. I haven't been there in a long time.
Your kids are still a little young.
Yeah, I haven't brought our kids yet up there yet. We'll bring them up there, but haven't made that journey as of yet.
It's fun,
but
when
a number of times when I was a kid, it was always fun. It was always fun.
For us, it's a little bit easier, real quick, kid, because we live in New York, right? Now, people think, you live in New York. You live right near. No, we don't live right near Cooperstown.
Cooperstown's a drive.
Yeah, it's a drive. But a lot of folks that listen to us across the United States, they got to fly in somewhere. It's not an easy spot to get to.
No, it's not.
Where
it's,
the hell you fly into? Syracuse? No,
maybe. I mean, you could fly into Albany.
Albany. I think you're right.
Yeah, you
Albany.
Could fly into Albany.
You're right. I forgot about Albany.
Right.
That's the spot to fly into.
And then you still have a little bit of a drive in front of you in order to get to Cooperstown. But it's a cool little town.
It really is.
And, you know, Hall of Fame weekend. I've never gone up for a Hall of Fame weekend. Have you ever gone up for a Hall of Fame weekend?
No, that I've never done.
I've never done. And it was packed yesterday. A class of six individuals going in. Obviously, Roy Halladay, posthumously, he's represented by his wife.
Yeah,
but
yet
Edgar Martinez and Mike Mussina and Mariano Rivera and, you know,
Harold Baines,
55,000, second largest crowd ever.
Crazy.
To take in the induction ceremony up there in Cooperstown, New York. And,
I'm sorry, but you know the thing, and before we get into about like the details of what happened, it was really cool. It's like, you know, like, and a lot of people talk about this, and I'm one of those people. I want to get your take. I just feel like it's buried in the mid to late July, the induction ceremony, you know, and meanwhile, there's MLB games going on nonstop while this is happening. Come on, guys. I mean, what are we doing here? You have the All-Star break. You got a couple days off. Do it then.
Well, the problem with that is the All-Star break starts on a Sunday, right? Sunday night, right? And then it goes until what? We had the first game Thursday night, which was Rangers and Astros.
Right.
And then baseball picked up again on Friday. So you have Monday, you have the Home Run Derby. You have the Futures game Sunday in Cleveland. Home Run Derby Monday night, All-Star game Tuesday. And then teams have all of Wednesday off. And then majority of teams obviously have Thursday off as well before games get going back on Friday.
And what's Sunday before?
Sunday is the Futures game.
Okay,
so they have like it's the All-Star game for the best of the minor leagues.
But see, they got to finagle or figure something out there. These are legends that are being inducted in the Hall of Fame. I mean, and they should have these people deserve to have the spotlight on them and their families.
I don't disagree with you. Now, Taz,
spotlight.
Now, instead of doing it during the All-Star break, how about you play this point? You mentioned it. Having games being played. Why have games being played?
Right. Why? We'll do night games.
Or not just do the night. Just push everything back where you have one day during the baseball season where this is the focus of Major League Baseball where there's no games going on.
Exactly.
Where these guys are the best of the best getting inducted into Cooperstown, the Baseball Hall of Fame, that all eyes should be on this class induction class going in.
All those players and their families.
They deserve it
because of the sacrifices they've made and their families have made and how great these guys are as players. They deserve that spotlight. To be frank with you, I think the current baseball players would love that. They'd love to either just have another little time off, a little more time off, not only that, but to check this out, to watch this. You know, I almost forgot this was going on because I'm watching the Met game. Lasted forever.
Yeah, no, I did.
That's
go.
Another story.
No,
with the Giants.
I did go forever. Yeah. Oh, for me, I knew what was going on because of Rivera.
Right. Well, of course. Well, so the Yankees are. There's just if you're a Yankee fan.
Yeah,
of
you're
course,
a Yankee
the
fan.
Hall of Fame.
And,
they're always going to
right,
the Hall of Fame.
And I get it. You're right. It does get buried. It does get buried a little bit. And that's something baseball should rectify. There should not be games being played while you're doing the induction ceremony. And oh, God bless those fans. I mean, it was a hot day up there in Cooperstown, New York.
Oh,
to be packing 55,000 into that small, you know, New York town and taking that in. And Rivera closed out the show as he did so many times during the course of the regular season. Baseball's all-time saves leader. You think about it, 42 career saves in the postseason, Taz, won 5 World Series. He allowed just 11 earned runs in 141 innings of work in the postseason. Think about that.
That's amazing.
That's insane.
Amazing. Listen, as a non-Yankee fan, but yet a born and bred New Yorker as I am, you learn quickly. If you were around watching while Rivera was in his prime, to respect, you know, the Sandman. Respect Rivera and what he did with the greatness for years, closing games out for the New York Yankees. I don't care who you are, unless maybe you're a Red Sox fan. When this guy would come out of the bullpen and they'd crank Metallica at the Sandman, you got goosebumps, bro.
You did. 19 years as a Yankee was Mariano Rivera, Taz. And you think about Rivera, not ballyhooed as a prospect. We see all these, you know, international signings now where guys are getting $4 and $5 million, right? I think Mariano Rivera signed for, I believe it was $25,000 coming out of Panama.
Amazing.
Came to the United States in 1990, Couldn't speak any English whatsoever, right? The Yankees had also at that time signed his cousin, Ruben Rivera, who was a big outfield prospect.
I didn't know that.
Was a big outfield prospect. Really? So they had Ruben Rivera and Mariano Rivera.
Oh, wow.
When he first got called up, he was a starter. His first initiation to Major League Baseball as a starter, he pitched to an over 10 ERA.
Just horrible.
Horrible. I mean, terrible. Came back as a reliever.
Right.
And then obviously developed the cutter, Taz.
Well, yeah.
And then from 95 to 97, 96 he was dominant, and then 97 he was the Yankees' closer.
Untouchable.
And we know what he went from there.
Untouchable. And the funny thing is, as a kid, Rivera, you know, he wasn't, his goal, his dream wasn't to play baseball, it was to play soccer. He was a big fan. It was of Pele. Remember Pele, the Brazilian soccer star back in the day, and then he found baseball. And I guess baseball found him. And as they say, the rest is history. 13-time All Star, 5 World Series with the New York Yankees. I mean, unbelievable.
It really was an unbelievable career. And here is Mariano Rivera yesterday at the induction ceremony on being a Yankee for life.
It's a privilege and honor to just be part of one organization. I did it with dignity, with honor and pride. I tried to carry the pinstripes the best that I could. I think I did it right with that.
He certainly did. How about that cutter, Mariano?
I told Mel, I said, Mel, you know what? Leave it like this, because whatever's going to happen, it's going to happen. And I learned how to use that pitch. I used that pitch for 17 years. And I use it well.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly did use it well. And Taz, here's the one thing for Rivera is there aren't a lot of guys that, even if you weren't a Yankee fan, you have respect for in sports.
Mm, true.
Right? There aren't a lot of, like, there are guys
there's
that appreciate their talent level, but there's not a lot of guys that, what ill could anyone speak of Rivera?
Nothing. This guy was just epic. This guy was great. Like I just said, as a Met fan, I mean, watching him, I mean, like, and I, you know, I'm not a Met fan who hates on the Yankees, but I'm not a Yankee fan by any stretch. But I mean, watching Rivera play, I'm like, wow. I was just in awe of how great he was. And then you see today, like, you know, it's almost like nobody liked this. Like the way this guy could close, where this guy was able to close games
and be as dominant as he
dominant.
Was.
I mean, I know my team hasn't had one, I think, ever. Still, we're still looking. So,
that's why I don't think Taz. I think we were lucky if you grew up in that era and you were able to see Rivera. I don't think we'll ever see a pitcher as dominant as he was.
And the great players he played with on that Yankee team, you know, from Derek Jeter, who he'll be up for it next year, and he's going to be obviously first ballot guy, Derek Jeter, well deserved. You know, and I mean, Mussina was in his class. I mean, he's played with so many great Yankees.
He did.
I mean, it's so many great teams, hence all the success the Yanks had. And he just, I can't picture Rivera, just like Tom Brady. I can't picture Tom Brady wearing a different uniform for anybody else. Like, Montana went and, after his career and went and played for the Chiefs after the Niners.
It was strange.
It was weird.
It was weird.
I remember going to Hofstra watching the Jets train when the first summer camp that Brett Favre was with the Jets. It was weird seeing Favre
in a Jet uniform.
In a Jet uniform, not a Packer uniform.
Right.
I was happy as a Jet fan then. I'm like, wow, this is going to be great. Well, you know. But anyway, it was weird.
For 12 games it was when you were 9-3.
Right. But the thing is, like Rivera, man, you can't picture him playing in any other baseball uniform except
you
those pinstripes for the Yankees.
You're right about that. I mean, it's kind of hand in hand in his brilliance, and he deserved the honor of being the first unanimous selection into the Baseball Hall
of Fame. No doubt about it.
There are other guys that deserved it too. I'm not trying to tell you that Rivera.
Yeah.
We talked about it at the time. It's all baloney. The idea of no one ever deserved to be 100%.
Right.
You know, all these guys in the past, whether it be, you know, Tom Seave or Ricky, I mean, go up and down the line. There are guys that, you know, our Baseball Hall of Famers. There's no debate to be had. You don't have to look at the, you know, the Baseball Almanac. You don't have to hop online and look at Baseball Reference and go through and see how many Hall of Fame seasons. Guys are just Hall of Famers. You know they're Hall of Famers if you take the PED stuff out of the equation, Taz. And so that's where you look at it where he shouldn't have been the first. It's rightful that he is the first because he's probably, you know, the but there should have been guys before him that were also unanimous.
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. You know one thing? What was his jersey number?
42.
Right. And they retired that number to Yankees. And it was funny.
Well, he was retired across baseball for Jackie.
That's true. I forgot about Jackie.
There were only three guys in baseball at that time before baseball retired it. And that we're still able to war 42 Rivera being one of them. Mo Vaughn was another one.
That's right. Mo Vaughn was a guest on our shows in the studio here. Massive human being. Yes.
Yeah, correct.
Massive man. But no, the reason why I mentioned, I was asking about his, I forgot he was number 42, but I know the Yankees, I mean, you're right about the Jackie Robinson number 42. My bad on that. But the thing is, I always found it interesting that the Yankees, like when he came in, like he wasn't wearing a single digit number. Because, you know, there's so many, there's like, I think there's, it's funny, I was watching the Yankees quickly the other day because the Mets were coming on later because they were in California, and I put the game on, I had nothing else to do, and I help me with the kid's name, number zero, the pitcher for the Yankees.
Oh, Ottavino.
Ottavino, right. Tremendous player, tremendous pitcher. And I'm like, look at this kid.
Strange wearing his zero.
He's wearing, well, not just a zero, that he is in that class of single-digit Yankees, Billy Martin and Derek Jeter, Babe Ruth, Roger Maris,
there's
Lou
no other
Gehrig.
Single digits. That's
no,
it. They're all gone.
Joe DiMaggio is number five, Lou Gehrig four. I mean, all the Roger Maris, Joe Torre, all these great Yankees. And again, I'm not a Yankee fan, but I, you know, growing up in New York, you know that single digits is a huge thing with the Yankees, and you're not getting them. Yogi Berra, number eight. Like, this kid has got a zero. It's a single digit. That's
true,
amazing.
Right. I don't know if I love guys wearing zero. Do you like that?
I don't love that. Russell Westbrook, right? Is he going to wear zero?
I don't know.
Yeah, not with that. I'm not into the zero.
I don't know
either.
If I necessarily love that, but you're right. I mean,
it's a single digit.
If you were, and that's when Jeter got the single digit too, that's when you know you're a prospect. That you are big things are expected
that's
of you.
That's a big deal with the Yankees. That now it's not possible. There's no more. There's the most single digits.
They're all gone. They are.
Rivera definitely could have been a single digit guy.
He could have been. You're right about that. The other, obviously, emotional scene surrounded Roy Halladay. And his wife, Brandy, spoke to the 55,000 for the induction of her husband, Roy, who was as dominant a righty as we've seen in this generation. Take a listen.
I know how honored Roy would be to be sitting here today with such accomplished men who have represented this game so well over the course of all of your careers. Thank you for being such a good example to him and to supporting him in his career and all of his efforts.
Yeah, I mean, very, very emotional.
Extremely,
Taz,
yeah.
And obviously his life cut short by the airplane accident.
Mexico, yeah.
Correct. And interesting kind of story that crosses both Rivera and Halladay, which if you go up to the Baseball Hall of Fame, you could actually see the baseball. I forget which All-Star game it was, but Roy Halladay went up to Mariano Rivera and asked him about the cutter. So Mariano Rivera took a baseball and basically traced his fingers on the baseball of how he grips the ball to throw the cutter.
Wow.
And Roy Halladay, from that day until the rest of his career, carried the baseball with him.
Amazing.
To go over how to hold the cutter and how to hold the baseball in order to get the cutter like Rivera had.
I mean, think about that.
That's kind of remarkable when you think about guys holding on to things that make them special. Mariano Rivera was teaching everybody and their mother the cutter, and Roy Halladay, that connection between Roy Halladay and Mariano Rivera.
And they both go in the hall.
Yeah, they both go in the hall. I'm not saying that the cut fastball led to Roy Halladay's success, but it was something that he wanted to add to his repertoire, and Rivera was happy to help.
Yeah, no doubt. And
2008.
Very emotional seeing that done by Doc's wife, Brandy, and just sad. It's just sad, you know. He left us way too soon, obviously, and you know, being his greatness with the Blue Jays, the Phillies, you know what I mean. Just it, the whole thing, just it's just very sad. And but you know what, it's a deserved honor for him, and it's awesome, and it's for his family and stuff. And I got to tell you got to give his wife a plethora of credit because she's not used to speaking publicly, and you know what I mean. Like you and I, we speak publicly, so. For the average Joe or Jane to get in front of that many people was such an amazing honor for her late husband. That took a lot of courage for that woman to do that.
Oh, there's no doubt.
But she's been through a lot, obviously, since 2017, her husband.
And there's also a difference, Taz, of what we do and going up and delivering a speech,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely, yes, absolutely.
I mean, so there's there's some people that can that can talk on the radio or talk on TV, and then you put them in front of a crowd of, you know, I mean, there's 55,000 people. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about, even if you put them in front of a crowd of 250 or 500, it doesn't come across all that well. But I thought she handled herself brilliantly. And what is, I mean, it's got to be, his life was cut short way too soon. Yeah. It's got to be just, you know, gut-wrenching. She's got to be so proud of what he was able to accomplish and, you know, being the wife of Doc Holliday and being up there and, you know, being with all those great baseball players. But certainly, the sense of loss has got to be, you know, just profound.
It's heart-wrenching for sure. And, you know, he's just a heck of a career, cut short, as we said. I mean, but, you know, broke in with Toronto, yeah, I think in 98. Yeah, 98. And, you know, he won a Cy Young Award, was selected six-time All-Star he was. You know, just, you know, and won with the Phillies, too. Cy, I mean, just, you know, tremendous player. And two All-Star games, I believe, with the Phillies. So, you know, just a tremendous athlete and player, and it's just sad. But his wife deserves a plethora of credit for what she's doing to keep her family together, obviously, and for her to go up there and speak like she did.
Yeah, and you feel good for guys like Mike Mussina and Harold Baines and Edgar Martinez, Taz. Edgar Martinez, you know, put the DH aside. I don't remember. I mean, he was as good of a, you know, good of a right-handed bat, as you'll see. We know, we all remember Harold Baines, who had that sweet lefty swing. And then certainly you look at what Mike Mussina was able to accomplish. It felt good for Mussina, who, you know, never won a World Series with the Yankees and left retired, what, 2008, I believe.
The Yankees won a Cy Young. I don't think he ever won. I don't think so.
Did he win a Cy Young?
Hell of a pitcher. I mean,
hell of a pitcher.
He was a great pitcher.
He never won. He didn't win 20 games till his final year.
Wow.
His final year, he finally won 20 games. And reinvent himself, and he had that knuckle curve. Remember
that
he was able to, and it was good to see Mussina get in.
I agree.
And hear his Moose yesterday up in Cooperstown talking about getting into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
I was never fortunate enough to win a Cy Young Award or be a World Series champion. I didn't win 300 games or strike out 3,000 batters. And while my opportunities for those achievements are in the past, today I get to become a member of the National Baseball Hall of Fame. Maybe I was saving up from all of those almost achievements for one last push, and this time I made it.
Yeah. I like it. A little chip on the shoulder, which is cool. But hell of a player. Great. Mussina was great. You know, I got to tell you, my only thing, it's going to be a little bit of nitpicking for me. This is minor stuff, but, you know, a lot of these guys, they're reading stuff. Like, I can't, like, I guess because, like we said about talk of a living, to me, I would not, if I was going into Baseball Hall of Fame or if I ever get fortunate enough to go into WWE's Hall of Fame, I don't think that's going to happen. Who knows? I'm not reading nothing. Moose, if you're going into the Hall of Fame, you're not reading papers. You're not reading an index card. It sounds like Mussina was reading. I understand he's not a public speaker, but
right,
still.
Right, it did, Taz, but I'd be worried about going up there and freezing up.
You? You? Moose, I think you'll be fine. I don't think I could.
Wouldn't go up there. You wouldn't go up there with just a little something.
No, bro.
You'd have nothing. You'd walk
nothing.
Up there and just
spitball. Dude, I would. I would. And
you would really
know you. Listen,
I'd
because in the trade,
I'd be a little nervous.
Listen, in the trade, if you go up there and you're a broadcaster, sportscaster, TV or radio, and you have index, dude, you know your college, you're gonna kind of get ripped. Like, bro, you're not. You know, that's a prideful thing for people. Don't realize that for announcers or radio guys or TV guys, not to work off of unless you have to work off a prompter, a teleprompter or something.
Yeah.
You spitball. You're a radio guy. You don't need a script. I'm Mark Belushi.
What about an outline?
This.
What about an outline of where you want to go?
Yeah, but the outline.
Like you look down and you're like, this is where you want to talk about in your career, Taz. Like you're getting into the Hall of Fame. You want to hit upon this stage of my career. Then this transit. Then,
can't do it, bro.
No outline. Not even an outline.
I'm not kidding.
You're just going.
I'm
you're
spitballing.
Just,
I have to. You know.
I don't know if I can do that.
I'll tell you
I don't
what,
think I trust myself.
I was broken to
the outline.
But listen, I wasn't broken the wrestling business by WWE. I broke in before WWE.
Yeah, of course.
I was broken into broadcasting from WWE. So my point bringing up is Vince McMahon, like you can't like when I would host things in the ring or besides the color commentary, and need to have a card. like or something, he would say no way. He
didn't want.
He was drilling you. You have to be professional. You got to memorize things. You have to just be able to just spitball and talk. So to me, no, I would not have an alibi. I couldn't.
But isn't that a little different than a whole? Now, I haven't watched all the WWE Hall of Fame induction ceremonies.
Oh, a lot of those guys have written stuff.
Are they writing?
Yeah, a lot of the guys. Are writers they working writing them.
No, right. Are they working off a teleprompter?
No. Like, not a prompter. They're working off of, like you said, an outline.
An outline. They're looking down and working off some
Not
stuff.
Every guy, though, and girl. Some do. Some don't. Like, some, you know.
Some of those speeches can go long.
Well, they used to always go long. You're right. This year, they cut them short. They said, look, I remember when I was working there.
Start playing the band.
Dude, I was going to the Hall of Fame things, and it was like it was like a half hour per person, 35-40 minutes. These guys were living their past, and then they got a couple of drinks them before they go on. Dude, I'm not kidding. I've been to these things. Sitting in the audience was a nightmare.
Yeah, you're like oh my god,
give me the Uber. Okay, where's my Lyft?
So then in 1962, I won this title in Wyoming.
Would, but okay, see, thank you.
But that would be the problem where you don't want to trail off.
I would keep it succinct. I mean, my fear would be if by not writing something, I would forget to thank somebody.
Yeah, right.
Key persons, you can't forget your significant other.
Yeah, for sure. And your significant other and others that helped you get to where you were getting.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not true. Come on. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on this Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
This is Major League Baseball legend Mo Vaughn, and you're listening to Taz and Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, tonight, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, CBS Sports Network brings you tennis like you've never seen it before. Don't miss a men's and women's action-packed showdown between Orlando and Washington. It's World Team Tennis on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports.
I thought this would be better, Moose. My wife and I bought a few of these, and this new flavor, lemon raspberry, it's a little seltzer water type thing.
Yeah.
Without promoting the name. You know this brand. Very good brand.
Yeah.
You're familiar. This is not that good.
Okay.
Just letting you know.
They're very strong in the flavoring.
They are. They're getting more and more. They have one now that's like an orange, like a citrusy one. A green can.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Oh, is it really
good? If you like an orange citrusy type thing, lower sugar, you know?
Yeah, I've had that. The grapefruit's a little strong.
That's what my wife said. My wife loves grapes. She's like, wow, this is really strong.
Yeah, really. I had one last night. Very strong.
The pomegranate? I can't see that word.
I have not had the pomegranate one. Good?
Probably the best.
Okay.
Probably
try
best.
That one.
Yes.
But, yeah.
So this one's a little rough. This one's not.
Well, flavored seltzers are taking over the world.
They really are. It's a gigantic thing in our world today.
Really
You're right.
Is.
Well, because it's low calorie. You don't get the artificial stuff.
No.
And you get a little flavor.
Yes, that's exactly right. It's not just plain water.
Yes.
That's Ryan Wilson's going to join us here momentarily. Oh. In about 10 minutes from now.
All right.
Covers the NFL for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. We'll get into everything surrounding Tyreek Hill. Run around the National Football League as well with Ryan.
So. Funny, real quick before we get to Andrew Bogus, who just walked in the building, our update person. Okay, we're going to get to him now. What are we doing here? Connor's just, he missed us before. We had no guests last week.
Okay.
All week.
No guests.
Just let you know that.
Just John in New Jersey.
Well, besides.
Nice.
Wow, look who just walked in. Andrew.
Oh, hey, guys. What did I miss?
Nice.
Well, Connor messed up again?
There it goes.
Okay.
Connor's fine.
He had the Mo Vaughn drop, which is good. That was good.
Here's your report. I guess I'll read. It's sponsored by Wrangler Outdoor. Pants and shirts made with durable fabrics. Thanks, Moose. Moisture management and UPF 30 protection. Wrangler Outdoor. Clothing with outdoor credibility and everyday versatility. Try them on today. Training camps continue to open all around the NFL, and that means roster moves have to happen. Wideout DeAndre Hopkins and DNJJ Watt. Bears safety, HaHa Clinton Dix, and Patriots running back Sony Michel. All on their respective PUP lists. They can come off that list whenever they are ready to practice. All-pro wideout Julio Jones reported to Falcons camp yesterday, despite still not having a new deal. Jones stayed home for a while last summer before the Falcons adjusted his salary. He has 2 years and roughly $20 million left on his current deal. Jones says he trusts owner Arthur Blank, who has promised him a new contract. The first-place Braves salvaging a four-game split with the second-place Nationals 7-1 last night in Atlanta. Kevin Gausman started for the first time in a month thanks to a foot injury. One run, five hits, eight Ks over 7-plus.
I felt good. You know, I think the biggest thing was my fastball command. And, you know, BMAC had a great plan back there. And, you know, when I'm able to hit my spots behind in the count, it makes things a lot easier.
Ronald Acuna Jr. and Josh Donaldson each homered for the Braves. They stay 6.5 games ahead of the Nationals. The Phillies stay a game behind Washington with a 2-1 win in 11 in Pittsburgh. Reese Hoskins, a tie-breaking solo homer. The Cubs losing to the Padres 5-2. The Brewers a 7-4 win in Arizona. And the Cardinals a 3-1 victory in Cincinnati. Over in the AL, the Red Sox lost in Baltimore 5-0. They didn't get a hit off 30-year-old journeyman Asher Wojciechowski until the seventh inning. Golf's final major is in the books.
Here's this little tap-in to win the 148th Open Championship. And poor Rush. Shane Lowry is your Open Champion 2019. Big hugs from player to caddy. Emotional scenes.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
That's how it all sounded. Lots of accents on the open.com. Shane Lowry's coronation official with that tap in. Putt a six-shot win over Tommy Fleetwood at Royal Port Rush to claim his first major title. Lowry did it only a 1 over 72 yesterday to win the first winner at the Open to shoot over par in the final round since 96. Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Jason Day, Hideki Matsuyama, reportedly at a skins game in Japan in late October. Tiger then plays a PGA event outside Tokyo. And checking last night's MLS scoreboard, Portland a 2-1 win in Seattle. The Red Bulls a 1-0 win in Orlando. Four saves in shutout number five for Luis Robles, guys.
All right. Appreciate that. Thank you, Andrew. Come back. We're going to talk a little football. Ryan Wilson's going to join us.
You all right?
Yeah.
Something wrong?
No, there's nothing wrong.
Something bit your foot?
What's going on? No, nothing bit my foot.
Wear flip-flops, by the way. My new thing to work.
It's a thing.
You should get on it, Moose. No. You look like a flip-flop guy.
I did. I wore them all last week.
I'm sure you did.
To the beach.
No one sees your feet. You're at a broadcast booth.
I know. I get it. Enjoy it. I heard you flip-flopping your way down the hallway this morning.
Thanks. That's what you want to hear.
Fire. That's it. Snapping it right back on the back of the heels.
That's funny.
We got Ryan Wilson's going to join us. CBS Sports, CBSSports.com covers the National Football League. It's Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
This is WWE superstar, the man, Becky Lynch, and you're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. On this Monday morning, let's get into a little NFL. Ryan Wilson joins us now, covers the National Football League for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. What's going on, Ryan? How you doing, bud?
Ryan, okay. What's up, man? How you doing?
How's it been?
It's been good. I mean, summer's clicking along, Ryan, and, you know, training camps are upon us, amazingly enough. And, you know, this Friday, Tyreek Hill will be there for the Kansas City Chiefs. How surprised were you by the NFL decision that came down on Friday?
I was talking to someone about that, and they asked me that exact question on a scale of 1 to 10, and I said both a 10 and a 1. Because the NFL is, under Roger Goodell's reign since 2006, has been so inconsistent with these punishments that you really never know what's going to happen. I mean, we know about the Ray Rice incident, and once the video came out, everything turned in terms of how the NFL felt about how serious the allegations were, and they suspended the suspension went from two games to indefinitely. He has not played again. And honestly, a lot of that has to do with the fact that he was closer to 30 than he was to 25 and that he wasn't the football player he once was, because we know these guys get second chances. It's curious that the NFL decided to drop the investigation, that they didn't have enough evidence to move forward, when we've seen in the past they haven't needed as much evidence as the legal authorities in order to hand down a punishment and send a message and in effect make an example out of a player. And they chose not to do that here. It's unclear why. And I think that's what has people confused and angry in some instances more than anything, because while we can't prove what happened to that young child, we have the audio tapes of him talking to his fiancée. And Jimmy Smith, The Ravens was suspended for 4 games for making threats to his then-girlfriend. Ben Roethlisberger was suspended for 6 games back in 2010 for the sexual abuse allegations or the sexual misconduct allegations when the Justice Department had dropped it, or the local authorities had dropped it. Ezekiel Elliott, 6-game suspension back in 2017. Again, the local authorities had dropped a case of domestic violence, and he was still suspended. So the inconsistency is what's confusing. We'll see what happens. You hope that Tariq Hill gets everything in order and is the dad of the year for the rest of his life. But there are reasons for concern and reasons for not understanding exactly what the NFL is trying to do here.
Yeah, it's definitely a bad look, Ryan. Moose and I were talking about this a whole bunch in our first segment of the show, and it's like there's a pattern here, and there's a pattern with Hill, and there's some proof here. Like, well, basically with the audio, with him saying this to his fiance, basically saying, and I'm paraphrasing, and you should be afraid of me too, also. And just saying that, you're referencing someone else, right? In this case, it's a 3-year-old child.
Yeah, no, it's... I've heard that the NFL listened to the entire 11-minute audio clip, and the context was different after listening to 11 minutes. Right. But, you hear that sentence, whatever the context, the implications are clear.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it's a whole thing. And listen, God forbid it, but if Tyreek Hill does something that finds himself in trouble once again, the NFL is in deep and serious trouble about why they let this go.
Well, yeah, and I guess, you mentioned, Ryan, they'll face that. Why the inconsistencies with domestic violence or violence, we've seen this. Why have we seen the National Football League struggle with this issue so much over the years?
Well, for some reason, Roger Goodell wanted the final say, and I think that's part of the issue. There's no real rule of law in terms of what is and isn't a punishment. I know the NFL can provide you with a sheet of paper that says if you do this, X will happen, but that sheet of paper seems to be only a guideline. It's not hard and fast. You can ask any NFL player about the on-field punishments, and we've seen guys suspended for things that don't make sense, and we've seen other guys not suspended for things that should have probably drawn a suspension. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady was suspended for his role, quote-unquote, in deflating football.
Right.
And by any measure, that was a crock from start to finish. The amount of money, the millions of dollars they spent on investigating that, and it seems like they've done immeasurably less to figure out Tyreek Hill's role in what happened with him and that young child.
Well, we're talking to Ryan Wilson right now. You listen to Taz and Moose, by the way, on CBS Sports Radio, and our special guest is Ryan Wilson. He covers the NFL for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. So, Ryan, obviously you know about all these rumors about Ezekiel Elliott, the Cowboys, making plans of being out of the country, taking a little trip during training camp. What do you make of this and your thoughts and opinions on this and how this thing plays out with the Cowboys and Zeke?
Actually, I think Zeke's probably doing the right thing because he plays running back, and those guys are, fair or not, those guys are pretty easy to replace. Mm. Ask James Conner and Le'Veon Bell. James Conner made $500,000 a year last year. Le'Veon Bell turned down $14.4 million on that franchise tag to sit out. And the productivity was virtually the same. So Zeke Elliott is in the prime of his career. He is extremely important to that Cowboys offense. And if he figures, look, man, this is my last best chance to really get paid, I'm going to take a little break. I don't care that he's missing training camp. He knows what to do. There's no reason for him to go out there and get hurt. I think he's in a much better situation than Melvin Gordon with the Chargers because Melvin Gordon also wants to get paid. He's threatened to hold out and maybe even pull a Le'Veon and skip the entire season. I think the Chargers are way less inclined to pay him, where Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones have sort of hinted that they plan to pay Zeke, and they've mentioned Todd Gurley money. But here's something to think about. They're going to have to pay Dak Prescott close to $30 million a year. They're going to have to pay Zeke Elliott close to $14 million a year, which is what Todd Gurley makes as the highest paid running back. They're going to have to pay Amari Cooper $17 or $18 million a year. That is $63 million a year tied up in three players.
Oh, wow.
And I just don't think Zeke is worth it. Zeke is a fan. He's the best or one of the best running backs.
He's top rusher last year. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. But you can find these guys for much less than $14 million a year, and I think that's the math that the Chargers are doing. I don't know if the Cowboys are willing to let Zeke become an issue or hold out or not be on the field when they need help protecting Dak in terms of the production that Zeke provides behind him.
You know, when you look across, Ryan, the National Football League here, as training camps get going, where are you going to be zeroing in on early?
Well, it's funny because the Broncos started before anyone, so I was actually sort of high on them coming into training camp. That offensive line is much better than people give them credit for. They played at a relatively high level last year. Philip Lindsay's really good. Emmanuel Sanders is coming back. Cortland Sutton's really good. And they drafted Noah Fant, the most athletic tight end in this draft. He can stretch the field. We know Joe Flacco loves tight ends, and we know about that defense. And then training camp rolls around, and Joe Flacco throws three interceptions. He gets sacked by his left tackle at practice, and you're like, wait a second. Let's pump the brakes on that for a little bit. But I do think that if everything goes right, this team, which has had back-to-back losing seasons, could actually turn things around. The only issue is they're in the same division with the Chargers and the Chiefs. But I feel like they could be a 9-win team, and Joe Flacco, in the right situation, could have a lot to do with that. So that's something I'm watching. But, again, it's early, and I was sort of turned off by the fact that the left tackle there sacked the quarterback.
Yeah, that's kind of a little funky. Ryan, if we go down to Atlanta with the Falcons, Julio Jones, top receiver last year, you know, just a great, great player, no doubt about it, a freak of nature, this guy. He hasn't received a new contract, but he said he'll still report to camp. What's your take on Julio Jones and the Falcons and, you know, reaching a mutual extension?
No, I like that team this year. And, listen, Julio Jones has said and done all the right things. A year ago, he didn't show his face a lot around the facility. He wanted a new deal, and they sort of tweaked the contract. And he said Arthur Blank, the owner, has promised him that he will be a Falcon for life, and he's taken him at his word, even as Grady Jarrett has rightfully gotten paid, and even as Deion Jones recently and rightfully got paid. Julio Jones seems to understand that it's a process and it may not happen immediately, and I think he will get paid, and it makes sense. This team should be a lot better this year, mostly because the guys in defense are healthy. But Matt Ryan was a top-five quarterback last year, just sort of got lost in the mix because the team lost so many football games. They drafted two offensive linemen in the first round, so the idea there is to protect Matt Ryan. Now, Julio Jones needs to be on the field, needs to be doing what he does. So, and we're, you know, have a month here to go, but he seems fine with it. So if he's fine with it, I'll be fine with it. And it's just a matter of getting that deal done and how much it's going to take to pay him.
You know, when Mayfield out in Cleveland had to say what he had to say about Odell Beckham Jr., I mean, you know, how exactly does he say that with a straight face in terms of he's in a place now where he's going to be supported, fans aren't going to judge him? Paraphrasing here, I mean, that's a tough. We all love Baker Mayfield, right? And we know how outspoken he is, and he's going to be fun for the Browns to watch for hopefully a decade plus to come. But that's a tough one to take from Mayfield here, Ryan.
Yeah, it's funny because you're exactly right. Everyone does love Baker Mayfield, but the more he talks, the more you're like, all right, well, you know what?
That's true.
Right. Why don't you dial it back a little bit, and then we'll go from there.
Dude, it's almost like he's trying too hard to be like outspoken, controversial, and like a badass. Trying too hard, you know?
This Browns team is stacked, and there's
right,
he doesn't
no doubt.
Need to talk. He doesn't need to talk about Duke Johnson getting off the boat or the train's moving or whatever he said about that. Don't worry about Duke Johnson. Worry about you and worry about fixing this team that last had a winning season in 2007, I think. He hadn't made the playoffs since 2002. So there are a lot of other things you need to concern yourself with. And I think for the most part he's doing the right thing and saying the right thing, and I feel like his teammates really buy into what he's selling. But I've been saying this all offseason. If that team starts 1-4, none of this stuff matters because they're going to revert to being the Browns.
Yeah, I think Taz and I are both on board. I mean, Ron, what's your take? I think the Browns are going to be really good this year. I mean, I don't think championship good, but I think they're going to take that step forward. How about you?
I want them to, and I think we're going to find out over the first month of the season, because as they start off strong or even 2-2 or whatever, they'll be fine. But if they struggle, I wonder if they're going to come undone at the seams like the Browns always do. Yep. That's the big thing. Who is the real leader there? Baker Mayfield's the face of the team, but he's only in his second year. Freddie Kitchens did a great job calling plays last year, but he's never coached a football team. So there are a lot of things to sort through. What happens if Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry aren't happy with the number of balls that are getting thrown their way? So those are the things I'm concerned with. On paper, I love this team, and I think Baker is the right fit and finally the right quarterback for this team, but he doesn't have to comment on every single thing that comes across his plate.
No, he doesn't. Ryan, got a little curveball to close it out here. We saw the AAF come and go, right? The XFL is going to get going next year in 2020, right? How does, from people you talk to around the NFL, how does the NFL view the relaunch of the XFL for Vince McMahon?
You know, I haven't talked to a lot of people about it just because it's sort of been on the back burner. I think people were shocked when the AAF just sort of imploded mid-season or towards the end of that first year, because everyone expected you know, a lot more from the at least one full complete season. I mean, I actually covered the AAF draft. You know, we were trying to get a little pub going that way. And
well, you won't have to do that anymore. Yeah. Those days are done.
One and done. Yeah, thank God they didn't draft Benny Snell, right?
That's it, right.
But,
that was good.
Here's a good thing. The NFL got to look at a lot of players they hadn't previously would have had an opportunity to look at, and I suspect the same thing will happen in the XFL. They'll get a chance to scout some of these kids that they had gotten lost in the mix, weren't on practice squads, had no real means of playing football. So there will be that avenue for other players who want to continue to sort of chase this dream and have a chance to make it an NFL training camp. So I think that's the good thing. In terms of the football, level of football challenging the NFL, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Ryan Wilson covers the NFL for CBS Sports, CBSSports.com. Hey, Ryan, we always appreciate when you give us a few minutes. Enjoy your Monday, and thanks for the time, bud.
Nice spot, Ryan.
Thank you, guys.
Take care, bro.
You got it. He does a great job. He really does. Ooh, Benny Snell.
Look, a little shallow Benny Snell shot.
Little Benny Snell. Mr. Pittsburgh Steeler.
Look at Ryan Wilson.
We'll come back. We got the three for you. It's Taz and the Moose on this Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB. And all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.